honoring godly mothers. To all mothers, grandmothers, mothers-to-be, mother-in-law, let me first say, Happy Mother's Day. God's first and oldest institution is the home, and how our society today needs Bible teaching and Bible examples of God's pattern for the home. A necessary ingredient in any successful home is a godly mother. In 1857, William Lipscomb wrote in the Gospel Advocate, he said, each mother is a historian. She writes not only the history of empires or nations on paper, but she writes her own history on the imperishable mind of her child. That tablet and that history will remain indelibly when time shall be no more. Listen what the wise man said in Proverbs 31:10-12 and also 28-30 concerning mothers and wives. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor and charm is deceitful. Beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. It is true that no one can replace Mama. I have something that some children wrote concerning their mother that passed, and I believe this was the first Mother's Day after that. And it says, Mama was her name. Who bore the pain to give us life? Who pulled us close and held us tight? Who rocked us fast to sleep at night? Mama was her name. Who had a sweet and loving way? Who nurtured us from day to day? Who taught us how to kneel and pray? Mama was her name. Who worried most when we were gone? Who waited for us all night long? Who tried to teach us right from wrong? Mama was her name. Who had a young and pretty face? Who had a soft and warm embrace? Who could never be replaced? Mama was her name. What is this we call Mother? What is this day? Well, it's Mother's Day. When children honor Mother, to thank her for her care and love that transcends all others, we think of how she kissed her hurts away and brushed away our tears. She packed her lunch and sent us off to school day after day, and those too young she kept at home and joined in with their play. She cooked the meals and washed our clothes and picked up all her toys and settled squabbles, bandaged knees, and quieted our noise. A mother's job is never done. It's full-time work, it's true. No matter how much work she does, there's always more to do. If heaven grants a special crown to one who helps another, then we're sure the greatest one will be for mother. There's nothing greater than a mother. Thank you, Lord, for mothers. This is a prayer. There's nothing warmer than a mother's love. There's nothing sweeter than a mother's kiss. There's nothing comforts like a mother's hug. And a mother's presence is such dear bliss. Thank you, Lord, and each one bless. We can't do without them. We must confess. Now, many of you, I've known your mothers. Many of them are not with us at this time. Many of them have passed on from this world. The song that we sang, Precious Memories. I talked to Vernie about this not long ago. Well, maybe in some month, maybe in a year ago. She had a picture of her mother and her dad on the wall. I said, Vernie, I said, you look just like your mother. She said, do I? I said, you sure do. We have precious mother. And you listen, we talk to those of the elders at the nursing home. What do they tell us? They tell us many times about their mother, don't they? So many of us have dear mothers. My mother's 94-year-old. She'll be 95 next year, or this year in July. She's not able to come to services. But we're glad to still have her with us. May God bless her this day also. A mother's best gift. Proverbs 31:31. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. This lesson does not deal with what we can give a mother, but what a mother's best gift for her children can be. She will give the Lord's word to her children. In 2 Timothy 1:5, the Apostle Paul writes, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and now I am persuaded that in thee also. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 14. But continue thy in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Lois gave this gift to her daughter Eunice, and Eunice gave it to her son Timothy. This pass it on principle is seen in the Old Testament, Deuteronomy 6 and verse 2. That thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thy and thy son, and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. A mother should provide for her children's physical necessities. Proverbs 31:15. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household, and a portion to her maidens. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. Mama has always taken care of the family, hasn't she? She's always there. And the Bible says that she rises while it is yet night. She gets up before daylight. Many of us as children, we remember as we went to school, Mama had breakfast on the table when we got up. She had been up probably an hour. But you know, mothers and new mothers need to be more concerned about giving to your children spiritual things. We can apply 1 Timothy 5:8 spiritually. But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Good advice in Deuteronomy 6, beginning in verse 6. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and there shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thine house, and on thy gates. Fathers, we have a great responsibility in helping the mother with her children. Paul said in Ephesians 6:4, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. In other words, in the training and in the warning of God. A mother, she will give her children to the Lord. In 1 Samuel 1:11, we all know about Hannah. Hannah was a young lady, was not able to have children. But Hannah knew what to do about it. Even though others talked about her, Hannah, she went to the Lord. She went to God about it. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thy handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. I wish more mothers and more fathers, when we see the impossible. You see, Hannah could not have a child. It was impossible. But God makes the impossible possible. Hannah knew that. Hannah goes to God. And that was a good lesson for all of us to learn today. When there's something that's impossible in our lives, we need to go to the one that makes the impossible possible. Go to the Father in heaven. Giving a child or birth to a child involves physical pain. Giving a child away involves emotional pain. We need to teach young mothers today, or young ladies today, instead of abortion, why not adoption? Why not adoption? Even though it would be hard. What about when we give our children away in marriage? You know, it's pretty tough for that too. We always, how many of us go to the rooms and check on them? We know they're gone, but we still check their bed, don't we? To see if they're still there. What about when they're going off to college and they're off and the last one is out of the house? It's a lonely place. We all think, boy, it's going to be nice when all the kids grow up. There's no more squabbling, more fighting. We'll have a little peace. But Mama doesn't feel that way. Maybe us dads, you know, we're kind of hard-headed. We kind of like that. No, we like a little peace. In 1 Samuel 2:19, it was hard for Hannah to see her son only once a year. Moreover, his mother made him a little coat and brought it to him from year to year when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. Now, I'm going to read some points and some thoughts about mother. Godly mothers are important. It takes a mother's love to make a house a home, a place to be remembered no matter where we roam. It takes a mother's patience to bring a child upright, and her courage and her cheerfulness to make a dark day bright. It takes a mother's thoughtfulness to mend the heart's deep hurts, and her skill and her endurance to mend little socks and shirts. It takes a mother's kindness to forgive us when we err, to sympathize in trouble and bow her head in prayer. It takes a mother's wisdom to recognize our needs and to give us reassurance by her loving words and deeds. It takes a mother's endless faith, her confidence and trust, to guide us through the pitfalls of selfishness and lust. And that is why in all this world there could not be another who could fulfill God's purpose as completely as a mother. Young mothers, God has given you children. And we, as the older, should recognize the little children. Has your child ever tossed a doll back two rows during services while you stared straight ahead wishing you were invisible? I think all mothers have done that, haven't you? You have probably heard the voice of your own little young one in the pause of Rock of Ages sing in an off-key, "Jesus Loves Me." You heard in the interlude of announcements a little prayer in the loudest voice praying for the dog, the cat, or some such. Can you remember the little ones at the table? They always pray for the dogs, their little pets, don't they? They remember Mom and Dad, even the uncles. Once Amanda was leading in a prayer. After I'd led prayer for our meal, she wanted to know if she could say a prayer. And I said, yeah. Well, I think it was 10 minutes. She had prayed for every uncle, aunt, brother, and sister. She had prayed for the dogs, the cats, for everything. I don't think she left anything out. But that's good. We learn and teach children how to pray. Most of you know what I'm talking about, don't you? When you hear your own little ones pray. You know, incidents such as these makes one wonder, as a young mother, when these things happen. Why am I here? No sooner do you sit down than you get up. You reach out, pick up, take out, and on and on. You want so much to keep your children quiet and not distract others. In every church, there are young mothers at every service. They pick up toys, they dry eyes, they wipe nose and bow heads. They swat, they spank, they scold and wonder, oh, why am I here? But to come, a pattern has been set. And the hand that threw the ball may someday sow the seed of salvation. Many times we wonder, we sit embarrassed, but always we're there. We have our moments of discouragement, hushing and corralling. Won't you please pray for us as young mothers? When you see a young mother, tell her you're glad that she and her family are here. Encourage her for her, there goes tomorrow's church. Many times older people may forget the time their children misbehaved and acted up in public. Hats off to parents who bring their children to church anyway. A salute to mother. A mother, though human, is that wonderful creature whose love knows no bounds, never wavering, never waning. She is perhaps the rarest of all God's creatures, for she is the truest. From the very first day she becomes a mother, hers is a strange destiny. No 8-hour days, no 5-day week, no employee benefits, no paid vacations. Hers is a 7-day-a-week, 24-an-hour day job, crowded full of chores and crisis. Her nerves seem made of steel, and her fortitude near superhuman. In a commentary just a few weeks back, I talked with Jody, and I mentioned to him, because he's got the little one, and I said it was made note that a mother that's got two children, in any day that she works and raises his little children, it is said she works 3 8-hour days. We men, we go out and work 8 or 10 hours, we come in, we think mom should still take care of us. Maybe we should think again. She's already worked all those hours. She never stops. You notice mama. She's always jumping and grabbing and doing this or that, isn't she? Always. She is a specialist. She's a jack of all trades. She's a babysitter and a laundress, a nurse and a cook, a housekeeper, a maid, a chauffeur, a counselor, and countless other things. She is endowed with the gift of knowing when to laugh and when to cry, when to be firm and when to be tender. Did you know that a woman can cry and laugh at the same time? Now, men, we can't do that. We can't use both sides of our brain, but the women can. You wonder how in the world, what's going on here? She's laughing and crying at the same time. She can do that. You can't do it, men. A mother copes with all kinds of situations. The first day of school, the first date, and the first broken heart. Nights of worry over late dates, auto accidents, and the teenage escapades. But after all is said and done, a mother is a lonely woman when her children are all grown up and gone. Now, we men, like I said, we're kind of glad to see the children get out. Mom's not that way. Again, I say it. When her life has changed and somehow sad, though finally free, she is then a woman wondering about her adult children, where they are, what they're doing, and telling herself they still love her and need her as they used to, while missing the days when the patter of little feet echoed through the house. Mama always wants to know where the children are, even when they're up and adults and grown and married out with their own children. She still calls when there's a storm, when they're traveling. Each night she still wants to make sure that they're in. We men, we look over at Mama and we say, she's all right, or they're all right. And she's always got some snappy remark, doesn't she? Every time. That's what you think. Remember that one? It's what you think. Well, mothers are mothers. We're not going to change them. That's where they are. They love their children. She is the one person you always expect to be there when you need her. Though you know one day she won't be. She is that wonderful memory of childhood, that tender guide of youth, the one unforgettable person who made a house a home. This, I owe you, I have not read this or talked about it in a couple of years, but I decided this year I would talk about this one. A tribute to mother. Now we that are older, as parents, as mothers and fathers, I think this will probably, we will recognize this more. I've been thanking mother for a long, long time now. I've carried some IOUs around with me. In fact, my wallet budges with them, and it's high time I sorted them and paid up, for you taught me to pay my bills promptly. Mom, I owe you for night watchman services, the night you got little sleep because of real or imagined noises around the house, the night you stayed up feeding the baby or doctoring us or just praying for us, for we surely needed it, the nights you didn't count sheep but talked with the shepherd, the night you kept vigil by going over all the poetry and the scripture verses you knew from memory. What I owe you can never be paid for watchman services. I owe you, Mom, for your services of chief cook and bottle washer. I owe you for your success in substituting, making it stretch, and perhaps just a little self-denial when there wasn't quite enough pie to go around. You that are older, you can remember back in the 40s, the 50s, early 50s anyhow, many times, and we didn't probably recognize until we got older what was really going on. Mama never sat down to eat, did she? She always was stood and the children ate. I think Mama ate the scraps. I believe she did. I think Mama made sure all the children were fed. Times were hard. And some of you, times were even harder. I've heard some stories from those up at the nursing home, how hard it has been. My stepfather once told me, he said, when I was a child, I would warm a board by the hearth. And I'd take it out, set it in the snow to stand on to chop wood. Pretty tough days, weren't they? Now, all of us, we love our parents. Someone says, well, when mother said she didn't want that piece of chicken or she didn't want that piece of pie, was mama lying? Was she not telling the truth? No. Mama didn't want it, did she? She wanted her children to have it. She said, I owe you for making strong, healthy adults out of us with leftovers in a limited budget. Mother, I owe you a huge laundress bill. When I remember the time you uncomplainingly soaked her clothes on a scrub board because you couldn't afford a washing machine, after you had lugged water from the well and heated it on a wood stove. A scrub board. Lye soap. How many of the young mothers even know what that means? I asked Miss Morton up the nursing home. She's 98 years old now. I said, what if you gave one of the young women now a scrub board? She said, well, they wouldn't know what to do with it. We've seen people try to play some, like to make it an instrument or something, haven't we? But boy, the old mothers, they knew what it was for, didn't they? They had to use it. I remember my mother. You remember the old black kettle in the yard? Surely many of us can remember that. And you can remember her mothers. She would scrub those old Levi's. She had seven sons, seven boys, and two girls, and nine of us. Lord bless her soul. Having to wash those old Levi's on that old scrub board, the old lye soap. Her hands many times chapped and bleeding. I can recall that. It's hard. And says, after you had hung them up on the line with hands, practically freezing, or draped them over chairs near a stove to dry. Can you remember those times that when your mama would hang those clothes over a chair and let them dry at nights? At night you would see those chairs around the stove or around the hearth. They'd be lined up with Levi's or other clothes just to dry. So now I owe you for all the medical attention and advice. Mostly we were a healthy lot, thank the Lord. But you nursed us through measles and colds and cut fingers and stubbed toes. Don't forget to wear your boots, you'd admonish, or remember clean underwear, or brush your teeth, you'd remind us every morning. You were always a healer of broken hearts, too. I remember and nursed us through all our small crisis in an amazing way, even through puppy love. One person writes, I got this week. Said, I grew up in the 50s and 60s with practical parents. A mother, God love her, who washed aluminum foil after she had cooked it. Now I'll tell you a story about my mother. Talk about recycling before it was even thought of. Some of the kids would bring in paper plates so they would not have to wash the dishes. Bless her heart, she would get them all together and she'd make those granddaughters wash them. And they said, well, that's why we bought these things. And she'd still make them wash them. And I caught them over one day talking about it. And they'd gather them all up and put them in a bag and tied them up and got way down in the bottom of the garbage can and put them down there and hid them so that they wouldn't have to wash them. They know Mama was going to make them wash them. Mama lived through the Depression. She had it hard. And those, my brother in St. Louis, he says, you know, that's why she does that. She lived through the Depression. It was hard. So this writer says that she would wash the aluminum foil and reuse it. Mothers today don't do that, do they? She was the original recycle queen before they had a name for it. A father who was happier getting old shoes fixed than buying new ones. Their marriage was good. Their dreams focused. Their best friends lived barely a wave away. I can see them now. Dad in his trousers, his t-shirt and a hat, and Mom in a house dress, lawnmower in one hand and a dish towel in the other. Isn't that just like a mother? Always with that dish towel in her hand. It was the time for fixing things. A curtain rod, a kitchen radio, the screen door, the oven door, the hem in a dress. Things we keep. It was a way of life, and sometimes it made me crazy. All that refixing, eating, renewing, I wanted just once to be wasteful. Waste meant affluence. Throwing things away meant you knew there'd always be more. But then my mother died, and on that clear summer's night, in the warmth of the hospital room, I was struck with the pain of learning that sometimes there isn't any more. Sometimes what we care about most gets all used up and goes away, never to return. So while we have it, it's best we love it and care for it and fix it when it's broken and heal it when it's sick. This is true for marriage and old cars and children with bad report cards and dogs with bad hips. And aging parents and grandparents. We keep them because they're worth it. Because we are worth it. Some things we keep, like a best friend that moved away, or a classmate we grew up with. There are just some things that make life important, like people we know who are special. And so we keep them close. May God bless mothers as we go through this life. A mother must entreat trust her children into the hands of God. 1 Peter 4:15. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, as busybody in other men's matters. A mother needs, by teaching and instructing them from the Word of God. Romans 10:17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Mothers, you can't give what you don't have if you don't have Christ in your life. We today, as young mothers, as older mothers, we need to give our children, our grandchildren, we need to give them God. We need to give them to the Lord. We need to seek in this life to help her little ones. I hope I've said something today that will encourage us. If we're not treating and being good to our mothers, let's not be like many of them, take them to the nursing home and forget them. Sister Burns has not been that way. Her daughters have been right there for her. God bless their hearts. We thank them. Sister Burns and many others have children to come and see them. Some of them are up there and no one comes to see them. That's why we go there. And that's why we spend time each Tuesday, Lord's will. And that's why we go up there once a month to be with them in services. I'm planning, if it doesn't change, I'm planning on bringing part of this lesson at the nursing home next week. We'll be there at 2:30 to be with the mothers and fathers there. May God bless you for being with us today. If you're here today and you're not a Christian, the Bible teaches us to hear the Word of God, to believe it, to repent, to confess Christ as deity, to be baptized, immersed in water for the remission of our sins, and then live faithful unto death, and heaven will be our home. If you're here today and you've been baptized into Christ, you've not lived as you should live, and you need to repent, do that, and we'll go to heaven on your behalf. We'll pray with you and for you. So if the invitation goes out to you, why not come forward just together? We stand, and as we sing.